Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking today about the persecution that's on the rise in Israel and Christians. And right now, you've been watching on your screens what is taking place. I mean, Jews in Israel are being knifed. They're being stabbed. They're being run over and chopped with machetes. What's going on? This is a definitely parental guidance suggested program, because you're going to be seeing some scenes that are quite disturbing. And we got to ask ourselves, we've got to shake ourselves. What is going on? Here we are. I mean, the fourth blood moon has already passed, and we're seeing an increase, an escalation of attacks on Jews. And it all started with a lie that, you know, the Jews were trying to take down the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is one of the Muslim sacred ground. And it's just a lie. And this typically and historically has riled up so many Muslims at unity against the Jews. And they're stabbing them. They're teaching children, how to stab a Jew. And yet there is silence. You're not hearing any outcry. And it's important for us as Christians to really be aware and to be alert and to allow God to touch us in such a way that we can move with empathy. We're going to be talking about a lot about that in this program. But our government's response is basically that both sides need to tamper down the violence. Well, excuse me, if you're being attacked and knifed, if your citizens are being attacked, or if you're the one being attacked, you want someone to respond with whatever force is necessary to get that attacker to stop attacking you. And so the narrative is being painted that Israel has done something to provoke whoever to stab their citizens. That's foolishness. But yet so many people are believing the lie. And that's what's important for us on this network, to stand with Israel publicly, prayerfully, in all ways, prayerfully, so that we can make sure that the truth goes out. I want you to watch a special Jerusalem Dateline report on exactly what has been happening so that you can be informed. We'll talk more about this when we get back. Watch this.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Jerusalem Dateline. I'm Chris Mitchell. It's been a deadly time here in Jerusalem and throughout Israel as a wave of Palestinian terror attacks have spread throughout the land. Palestinian Arabs committed at least three more terror attacks, two in Jerusalem and another in central Israel.
What took place here in Amona Nativ, in a relatively quiet neighborhood, two terrorists carried out an attack on a bus. One of them was armed with a pistol, the second one with a knife. They injured five Israelis. What we confirmed is that our police units that arrived at the scene shot and killed one of the terrorists. The second terrorist was apprehended.
Aaron Adler arrived on the scene as one of the first responders.
When I arrived on scene, there was actually still shooting on the scene. We found the bus here behind us with multiple gunshot wound victims inside the bus. Together with other crews, we pulled them out and started life-saving treatments. Whatever we could do to try saving their lives.
Jerusalem's mayor, Nir Barkat, blames Palestinian incitement. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas began the incitement last month when he said the Al-Aqsa Mosque was in danger and that the Israeli government was changing the status quo on the Temple Mount.
Which is not true, which is a lie. It's just a filthy lie. However, some of the residents believe those lies. And those incitements are sending people to kill innocent people. We've just seen in the last few days children, high school children that are incited, that go and try and terrorize and kill policemen. They don't return home. They themselves get killed. The incitement kills on both sides.
Some Israelis are concerned they're on the verge of a third Palestinian intifada, a word that means uprising. The first took place in the late 80s and early 90s, and the second took place from 2000 to 2004. The latest wave of violence has shaken Israelis.
We are terrified, and the world thinks that we are not justice with the Arabs. This is not true. They have ID like I do, and they kill us.
It's hard. It's
both attacks?
It's at the moment. It's not a good situation, but we do what we can. We believe in what we do, and we know that we know the purpose behind it. We understand the calling.
Jerusalem's mayor said this wave of violence is a wake-up call for the nations.
Now, the experience we're going through here in our city will haunt the rest of the world in a few years from now. You have to understand that terrorism, this kind of terrorism, is not just a Jerusalem problem. It's not just an Israeli problem. It's an international problem. And if you don't understand and support us in fighting terrorism here, next phase will happen everywhere else in the world.
It's hard sometimes for Israelis to walk down the street or wait at a bus stop without fearing a Palestinian terror attack. Here's the latest on the situation.
A Palestinian posing as a photojournalist, wearing a safety vest and carrying equipment, stabbed an Israeli soldier. He was shot and killed. The incident was caught live by a Hamas TV crew. Ahead of the Day of Rage, rioting Palestinians burned the tomb of the biblical patriarch Joseph in Nablus. In a surprise move, Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas condemned the arson attack. Foreign Ministry Director General Dori Gold said it was similar to the actions of extremist Muslim groups from Afghanistan to Libya. Days of Rage usually include Palestinian rioting and confrontation with Israeli troops at flashpoints in Judea and Samaria or the West Bank. But this one comes during a spate of terror that Israel hasn't seen for a long time. Prime Minister Netanyahu told journalists that incitement is behind the current wave of terrorism and violence.
First on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the outrageous claims that we are changing the status quo there or intend to destroy it. And now we have a new big lie. That new big lie is that Israel is executing Palestinians.
Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas accused Israel of executing what he called an innocent Palestinian boy. That boy stabbed an Israeli boy his own age earlier this week.
First of all, he's not dead. He's alive. This Palestinian terrorist is now being treated in Hadassah Hospital in Israel.
As for Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount, Israel says, as always, only Muslims are allowed to pray there. Christians and Jews have limited access and no prayer allowed. Netanyahu said the trouble doesn't have anything to do with whether or not there are peace talks.
They're attacking us not because they want peace or don't want peace, it's because they don't want us here.
Tension in Israel is palpable. Many Israelis are staying away from public places. Others aren't giving in.
I've never seen a time like this before in my entire life. I've heard about it when I was a kid, about the Second Intifada, but I never heard it, I never felt this way.
You know, when I see something on Facebook, it hurts inside to see it. And, you know, I feel bad, and I hope that anyone who gets injured is healed fast.
Yeah, it is sometimes it's scary to walk around, but it's not that scary because I know I believe in God, and I know he's going to help us.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says he's heading to the region to mitigate the wave of Palestinian terror and Israeli countermeasures that are sweeping the area. Meanwhile, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is increasing his incitement against the Jewish state. Israel says decades of incitement against Jews in Israel are behind Palestinian rage that's fueling the current wave of terrorism. Security here in Jerusalem is extremely tight. The government deployed more Israeli border police, along with Jerusalem police, to block entrances to Jerusalem's Arab neighborhoods like this one called Jabu Mokaber, where a number of the attackers came from.
We hear again and again the slogan, Itbach el Yehud, kill the Jews, knife the Jews, death to the Jews, in the name of Allah, in the name of defending Islam, in the name of defending the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
In a televised speech on Wednesday, Abbas accused Israel of increasing what he called its aggressive offensive against Palestinians and holy sites.
What sends young people out with butcher knives to attack Israelis, this phenomenon, is that it emanates from incitement, and particularly religious incitement. Incitement around the false accusation that Israel seeks to change the status quo on the Temple Mount.
Israel was hoping Abbas would use his speech to calm the situation, but instead he didn't condemn the current wave of terror, nor call for a halt to attacks. He charged Israel with what he called field executions and said two teens who carried out a stabbing attack of an Israeli teenager early this week were martyrs. Their parents said they went to buy candy, but this security camera footage clearly shows the boys brandishing knives. One of the teens was killed as he tried to attack a policeman, but the other is alive and receiving treatment in an Israeli hospital, yet Abbas said he was dead. Foreign Minister Director General Dori Gold pointed out that Abbas has been stoking the fire.
No less than Mahmoud Abbas made the famous comment on September 16th of this year, "We welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem. They, Israelis, have no right to desecrate the Al-Aqsa Mosque with their filthy feet." What is this?
Social media is also helping to spread incitement and lies to the younger generation, like this Hamas video that shows how to stab a Jew. On Wednesday, a Palestinian tried to stab a police officer at the Damascus Gate of the Old City. A television crew caught his attempted escape on film as he was shot and killed by security forces. A short time later, another terrorist stabbed a woman in her 70s at Jerusalem's central bus station. She managed to board the bus. The terrorist was shot and killed. Israelis are bracing themselves for Friday, when Palestinians have called for another day of rage. And for now, the terror shows no signs of abating. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, near Jabu Mukaber, Jerusalem.
Adolf Hitler said, I believe this was quoted to Adolf Hitler, "If you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, people will accept it as truth." People are dying and they're being stabbed in the streets of Israel over a lie. Think about this. And the lies that they were, you know, desecrating a holy ground, which they're not. But let's just say that they did. Do we respond? Is the right response to go stabbing and killing people? I mean, imagine that if at your local church someone ripped down a cross, would anyone advocate, let's go attack that person and stab that person because they ripped down a structure? I mean, think about this. It's lunacy, yet the world is silent. If this same activity occurred in Germany, if this same activity occurred in England or in France or in Spain, in Latin America, on the continent of Africa, would there not be an outcry of citizens everywhere saying, what is going on? Yet the world says nothing when Jews are being stabbed and killed over a lie. I mean, we just finished watching an update on what really is taking place in Israel. And it's important, you know, what we say, it's not enough just to know the news, but you got to know what to do with the news you know. You know, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many lies that are going out right now. And you want to be informed. I mean, today people want their news quick. They want it fast. But you want to get the right news. Mm-hmm. You want to get the correct truth of what's actually happening and going on. And it just, you know, I think about what's happening. And I think, Steve, you know, if this happened in any other country, any place in the world, there would be such a huge outcry. Mm-hmm. And yet there's a deafening silence. And it reminds me of the 45 seconds that Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, stood and watched and eyeballed every leader from around the world for 45 seconds without saying a word in response to what's happening with this Iranian deal. And you think about the Israelis, I mean, they're in a continual state of attack, lie, their lives are threatened. It's a continual stress, if you will. Can you imagine every single day getting up, sending your children to school, going to work, and wondering if you were going to survive that day, if somehow you were going to be lied to or attacked physically and dead? And these are the things that we can see. How many of these subtle attacks that are not physical, but they're happening all the time? Anti-Semitism is racism towards the Jews. Imagine all of that's happening. If you're willing to deny the fact that someone is killing our people over lies, and this is, you can clearly see, and you have video of them inciting people to do this. This doesn't take rocket science, right?
No matter what the Israelis do, they have somebody coming against them, twisting them. They're going to show a snippet and just...
This is the obvious stuff. The obvious stuff. The obvious stuff they deny. Imagine all the anti-Semitism rhetoric and things that happen behind the scenes mm-hmm. that people quickly, you know, overlook. I want you to see this segment from Prager University as Prager really breaks down the Middle East conflict, the Palestinian problem here, and what it's really all about. Because a lot of times people get lost in the news cycle and mm-hmm. all these narratives going on that they really don't know clearly what is happening over there. Why do they keep fighting? And it doesn't seem normal. You got to think, mm-hmm. why would someone pick up a knife and just stab you over? Surely you've had to do something wrong. Mm-hmm. This is how evil lies are. It incites people who become brainwashed, and they actually think that the evil that they're doing is right when they're actually dead wrong. It's called deception. Watch this.
When I did my graduate studies at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's: no recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt, because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, the Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem. I'm Dennis Prager.
When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about, are we possibly seeing a third intifada? And did our Secretary of State, John Kerry, actually predict this back in 2013? So the question is, are we actually seeing a third intifada, Steve? Is this what's happening when Jews are being knifed and run over? And
which is
hacked?
An uprising, which they talk about.
Yeah, intifada means an uprising. Talk to us about what Secretary John Kerry said back in 2013.
He had spoken with a couple of Israeli journalists, and when they were talking about the situation regarding Israel, and basically asked them outright and said, Israel doesn't want another intifada. Hmm. And you would kind of think that of all things to say, of all nations to say that to, that's probably not what you want to say to Israel. And what you'd seen in a previous video is the fact that the third intifada is what we're seeing now. And they had said the first one was in the 80s and the 90s. The second was the 2000, 2004. So it's like you're seeing, and this was back a few years ago. And as a matter of fact, we have a video of that. And it's just like the things that we're seeing now, all of a sudden there is this great, just, you know, you're seeing the events that are happening in Israel. This is not normal.
Let's go to it. I want you to hear Secretary John Kerry in his own words, hear him for what he actually said.
The alternative to getting back to the talks is the potential of chaos. I mean, does Israel want a third intifada? I know there's cynicism. I know so many people don't believe anything I just said. I know there are people
from both sides.
Well, from both sides. And I know there are people who've grown used to this, and particularly in Israel. Israel says, oh, we feel safe today. We have the wall. We're not in a day-to-day conflict. We're doing pretty well economically. Well, I've got news for you. Today's status quo will not be tomorrow's or next year's, because if we don't resolve this issue, the Arab world, the Palestinians, neighbors, others, are going to begin again to push in a different way.
I've got news for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. That's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a threat. You don't negotiate with someone by saying, by the way, if you don't come to the table for a negotiation here and you don't bring something, you don't want them to come beat you up, do you? You don't want them to come to your house and start rattling your door,
That's
do you?
That's a threat.
And it's like, did you just say that?
Yeah. And to think about that, this was in August of 2013. And you look at that, one of the last things he said was, there's going to begin again to be a push in a different way. And you're seeing that of all the events we've talked about this, we'll have we'll have articles related on the torch for you. You've seen the events. All of a sudden, there's this narrative being pushed against Israel in every way, form, and fashion. This is that.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we get a chance to really kind of look a little bit closer and kind of, you know, go underneath the hood and see what's really happening here. Mm-hmm. Because the Secretary of State is set to speak to Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president. And I'm interested to know what's going to come out of these talks, because what this administration has been saying is that both sides need to tamp down the violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute, why are we addressing both sides here when there's only one aggressor? When someone defends themselves, they have to do whatever is necessary to defend themselves. And you have to ask yourselves, what would we do as a nation if we had people that were committing these horrific acts against any people group and started attacking them? You know, we would use whatever force necessary to stop them. And that's what you need to do in times like this. We don't need to be addressing Israel and saying, you need to tamper down the violence. We need to be addressing the aggressor and saying, no matter what, this is not how we resolve issues. You don't go around stabbing people, even if that's what, if allegedly that's what's being said. It's a lie. It's not even the truth. But I want you to watch this report from CBN as Secretary John Kerry has a meeting with the president of the Palestinian Authority to discuss this wave of terror and attacks against Israelis. Watch this.
A Bedouin terrorist armed with a pistol and a knife attacked Israelis at the central bus station in the southern Israeli city of Be'er Sunday evening. He stabbed a soldier, took his gun, and went on a shooting rampage, wounding 10 others before being shot and killed himself. The soldier died, and sadly, an Eritrean man also died when he was mistaken for a second terrorist, shot by police and then attacked by a mob. In Jerusalem, Israel began erecting a security wall between the Jewish neighborhood of Armon HaNatziv and the Arab neighborhood of Jabu Mukaber. On Saturday morning, as Israelis were going to synagogue, a 16-year-old from Jabu Mukaber tried to stab a border policeman. He was shot and killed. The attack came 4 days after two terrorists from there shot and stabbed to death two people on a bus and seriously wounded three others. One resident said she had witnessed both attacks in her neighborhood.
First of all, I have nothing against Arab Israelis. I have a lot of friends. I am against those that comes and try to kill me. I was unfortunately witness again of the bus attack, again in my neighborhood, again by Israeli Arabs, and that's our lives.
There were a number of other stabbing attempts and attacks on Saturday, including this one in Hebron, where the terrorist was also killed. Meanwhile, Netanyahu rejected a French proposal to put international observers on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
Israel cannot accept the French draft resolution at the United Nations Security Council. It doesn't mention Palestinian incitement, doesn't mention Palestinian terrorism, and it calls for the internationalization of the Temple Mount. Only Israel, Israel alone, is the guarantor of the holy sites on the Temple Mount.
Palestinians say they're fighting to protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israel says there are no changes there. Netanyahu is planning to meet Kerry in Berlin this week. Following that meeting, Kerry will probably meet Abbas in Jordan. Reports say Netanyahu won't offer any concessions to Abbas, but will demand the Palestinians stop their incitement against Israel. Chris Mitchell, CBN.
That's a leader. There are no concessions to make. Mm-hmm. You just need to stop killing people, stop killing Israelis. And there's nothing that's going. It's happening on this Alaska mosque or this Temple Mount. I had an opportunity some time ago to be in Israel, and I've actually walked on that Temple Mount. And you don't even see any Jews on the Temple Mount. It's reportedly, and that's where the temple was. And And you don't see any Jews there. You don't see any Jews there. And when I was there, I didn't, you know, beginning to hear all this fear of what could possibly happen. But I found that the Israeli security was, they guarantee safety. Mm-hmm. And the people there, they love Americans. I was walking all through Jerusalem, and they love Americans. And I felt very safe. The Israeli doesn't need another country like France, of all countries, to come in and try to broker any kind of deal. There's no deal to broker. It's very quite simple. You don't attack people. You don't kill people. You don't knife them in the streets. You just don't do it. And this is happening with children. They're teaching children, 13 years old, are going around stabbing other Jewish children. And I know that we've showed you a lot of imagery, and it's on purpose. It's with intentionality, because we want you to actually see with your own eyes. It's impossible for us as believers, because we got to make a clear distinction of what our government's response is from what us as Christians, as believers, how we're supposed to respond to this. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible to have a heart of empathy if it's not something that's even on your grid. And I want to challenge you today. no matter where you're watching VFN TV today, I want to challenge you to have a heart of empathy. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about that, because it's impossible for us to take action in any way, whether it be prayerfully, whether it be financially, whether it be for us to physically get involved and get engaged in any kind of way, without first having a heart that's sensitive to the plight of those that are suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's what God would want from us. He wants us to respond, not to be ignorant, not to look the other way, but to feel with compassion. And we're going to talk more about this, because we have an answer. The answer is Jesus. And the answer is for his church to be mobilized and to stand with Israel in these days and in this hour. So what are we seeing in Israel? We're looking at Israelis being attacked and the world not even caring. They're not even caring. Deadly silence. And what's our response as believers? What do we need to do in order to, you know, be involved, be engaged? And one of the things we need to do is awareness. I mean, we have to be able to see. We have to take time to look and experience what in the world, through having a empathy in our hearts, what is going on there. And this is the definition of empathy. It's the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. It's putting yourself in a way in their place, and, you know, just experiencing what they're trying to, what they're actually physically experiencing. You're kind of going there, you know, with your emotions, with your thought. You're trying to maybe like relive that experience yourself, and that's pretty difficult for a narcissistic society. I mean, you know, it's pretty difficult. Steve and I were talking during the break that today, with all of this technology that we have available, we are living in a different world. I mean, if you just dial the years back a few, you didn't have mobile phones. I mean, not to the extent. I mean, since really 2008, you had not had a mobile phone that could do so much. I mean, where you can be with apps and all these different things. Well, today, how many people are falling to sleep with their iPhone in their hand? That didn't happen 10 years ago. Forget 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It didn't happen 10 years ago, right? How many people are at a traffic light? You stop, and what do they have in their phone? A phone. They're in a line shopping. They whip out their phone. And so they're self-absorbed, getting all this news. And it's a temptation. You have it there. You pull it out. But no one's really caring anymore. No one really is slowing down to take care of their neighbor. I mean, car alarms are going off, house alarms are going off, and no one's even walking outside their house to find out if my neighbor's in trouble, if a fellow citizen in my community is being hurt. It's a narcissistic point of view, and as believers, we can't live like that. We are the direct representation of Christ. We're walking on the face of this earth. We should be walking with his heart. We're his eyes, his hands, his feet. And we need to be able to take care of people, not just those that are around us, Steve, but in this particular case, the Jewish, you know, people in Israel. The Israelites are being attacked and no one's saying anything. And the first kind of thing is for us to look and to be aware. And as we begin to look, then we start to develop a heart of empathy. And what empathy does, it kind of stirs us to action. You know, no empathy, no compassion. Action. Right, because unless you walk in another person's shoes, you can't really fully understand what it is that they're experiencing, what it is that they're going through, what it's like to be them. And it's so important to try to figure that out. And once we start feeling that pain or that discomfort, that frustration, we can begin to start taking action, whether that's, you know, prayerfully committing ourselves to prayer every day, whether that's financially supporting those that stand with Israel, like VFN TV and so many others, whether that may be you physically getting involved to do something. I know of volunteer organizations right now that will go and help IDF, and they volunteer to help the Israeli Defense Force. That's just one of many things, but you can't get stirred to action if you're not feeling my pain. You know, when you feel my pain, then
you feel me.
When you feel me, I know you're hearing me, but do you feel me, right?
Right, that's a big difference.
Then you begin to do something. No empathy, then what you have is apathy. And apathy basically is a lack of interest, no enthusiasm, no concern. And right now I'm concerned that we have a lot of apathetic people, believers, that just don't feel anymore.
Yeah.
They're just not concerned, Steve. Yeah. They just don't really care.
Well, when you talk about that, it brings to mind, it's just like when you go through those motions, it's just like when you see the images of what's happening in Israel right now, it's just like imagine the pain that people are literally, you know, some of the people that are being interviewed, they're on the verge of tears, just realize it's like this is our daily lives. It's like if you're going to empathize with someone, you have to engage yourself in that reality, and it's painful. It's hurtful. And it's like you have to be willing to, be vulnerable for someone and say, you know, what you're going through is real. This is not my reality, but I want to support you and just say the fact that this is real. And it's just like it's so real. What you're saying is that we're so distracted by entertainment.
Yeah.
There's nothing more dangerous right now than the distraction of entertainment and just the laughing. And I'm not trying to say laughing's bad, but I'm saying if that is totally causing your heart to turn off from the things that are happening, it's like you got to really force yourself to check yourself, to be sober minded and say, God, keep me grounded in love so that I can love people.
Yeah. That's so, so important. I think about this quote by Martin Niemöller, I believe that's his name. He's a pastor during the time of Hitler's atrocities. And this is what he said. He said, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and then there was no one left to speak for me. Mm. Listen, this is where we're at. If you think that you can remain silent, if you think that you can apathetically go through life and not really be invested emotionally in the things that we're supposed to be invested, listen, there's going to be a time that they're coming for us. You know, first for the Sunday people, then this, you know, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people, first the Jews, then the Christians. And it's happening, and it's on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us to stand with our fellow Jewish brothers and sisters, you know, out of a heart of compassion and empathy, because let me tell you, you're going to want to have that same experience reciprocated back to you. I want to pray for you right now as we just close out this program. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are speaking, that you're softening our hearts, yes, and you're bringing awareness to the plight of our brothers in Israel. Father, help us, Lord, not to be apathetic. Help us not to be totally lost and unconcerned with the plight of our Jewish brothers and sisters, but help us, Lord, as believers, to have a soft heart, a heart of compassion that enables us to be involved and engaged and prayerful, so that we can help turn the tide, Lord. Yes. We are believing, Lord, for a third great awakening, not just for America, Lord, but a move of God that will sweep the entire world. We ask you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.